you, in that sense. Okay. One of the things that has fascinated me for quite a number of years is the way in which Swedenborg's own life of 84 years and the way in which it developed and changed is a kind of wonderful paradigm model of spiritual growth in itself. Okay? Now, I know you can sort of push that too far and go into crazy stuff, you know, about the actual life pattern being sort of there deliberately for that, and I'm not too much into that, but I actually am fascinated with, as with others, but I think particularly with Swedenborg, the way in which his early life, midlife, and later life actually demonstrate something which is changing and transitional. And I find that quite exciting. What we're going to do in this first session is look at the midlife period, midlife crisis, midlife change, and work in the area of the word explained, which, if you were here last night, David touched on, and at one point I thought, I don't need to do tomorrow morning's session. But yeah, that was fine. That was fine. But you opened up sort of quite a number of things to do with the word explained. And my sort of hypothesis is, generally, as an abstract principle, that you don't get, you know, there's no free lunch, okay? You don't get enlightenment or resolution or liberation or whatever really superb outcome you're going to arrive at, hopefully. You don't get that without struggle. Okay? That's my hypothesis. And if you're familiar with Swedenborg, he would actually spiritually handle that generally in terms of the permission of temptation. Combats. Spiritual combats. Purposeful and coming out of those into something which you realise that struggle and combat was part of the process. While you were in it, you were actually wondering, you know, what the hell, basically, because you can't be in any other state when you're going through, you know, real temptation. Okay? So, that's the sort of general idea in the abstract, that, you know, resolution and so on, enlightenment and so on, involves a necessary period of struggle in order for that to come about and be arrived at. In Swedenborg's own case, I sort of feel, and this is a work in progress, all right? I'm not standing on a soapbox, no way. This is a work in progress, and I'm exploring it with you this morning. I want to consider the idea that if Swedenborg hadn't written strugglingly the word explained, I feel he wouldn't have been able to write the Arcana. Okay? That's my feeling. Okay? That's my feeling. Writing the word explained, and what that did seem to sort of open doors and lead in to, as we'll see, something which was incredibly different. You know, incredibly different from the word go. Just blissing out in that sense. Now, anybody who can write an 8-volume magnum opus and then say
pyramids upside down.
Anyone who can do that and say no gets my enormous respect. Okay. This is the word explained. Okay. Almost. That's the introduction to it, which is not part of the word explained. I'm going to take you into it in a small way. This is actually a fascinating introduction, and I began to wonder whether you'd actually pull things out of this last night at one point. No? Okay. This is the introduction to the word explained by Alfred Acton. Now, there's an Alfred Acton who's still a retired minister, but it isn't him. It's actually his father, grandfather, but that's not important. Round about the 1920s, this manuscript, because that's all it was translated into English, published, and Alfred Acton did the whole translation, and he wrote this introduction to the word explained, which I met first of all at college, and I don't want to go on too much about this, but the actual dealing with the word explained as a work is only from pages 6 to 16. That's the only reference, really, to the writing and the content of the word explained. And after that, for about 20, 25 chapters, this whole fascinating, whatever you call it, intromission period, dual consciousness, entry into the spiritual world, seeing visions, automatic writing, etc., is dealt with by Alfred Acton as he was able to actually give expression to that electric state that Swedenborg was in his mid-50s. So, you know, it's fascinatingly done. It's a bit dated, but, you know, Swedenborg's double thoughts, the manifestation of the Lord, closer approach to the spiritual world, women in Swedenborg's dreams, call to the office of Revelate. But, you know, very, very interesting resource material for anybody who's interested in anybody who feels that their fundamental reality is shifting incredibly. Okay? That's very good, I think. But there it is, you know, 8 volumes, and just, you know, huge, but not the way to go. Okay? So he began the Arcana, and it's sort of
Julian, do
fascinating.
You see any value in perusing those volumes if you're interested in sacred scripture?
Okay, yes I do, would be my answer. Yes I do. I cannot but put the Arcana in a higher position. But the Arcana, if you're familiar with it, the Arcana, and I don't want to steal my own thunder, is serene. You do not get with the Arcana much of Swedenborg's tearing his hair out sort of thing.
Well, that came out in the handwriting analysis yesterday.
That came out in the handwriting analysis. So, in answer to your question, Michael, I would say yes. To go to the word explained and to go to the Arcana is a different meeting. Okay? But when you come to the word explained, what you are into primarily, as we'll see, because I've got specimens to throw out, you come to somebody who, from themselves with a sense of deeper meaning, divine flow, but grappling with the difficulty of knowing what that is and giving expression to that. From himself at that period is obviously and on the surface struggling. So dip into the word explained by all means, but benefit from it in terms of primarily, I feel, seeing somebody who is struggling to understand and not there yet. And one of the features of the word explained is actually Swedenborg, and I've got one sheet on this, where Swedenborg says, fascinatingly, it has not yet been revealed to me that. Okay? You know, what a statement. It has not yet been revealed to me that. This is still arcane. I am not permitted to come into knowledge of this truth. You know? Now, he makes those statements, but he also makes a lot of fireworky shootouts to explore what it might mean or what's coming to him intuitively at that moment, but missing it a lot of the time. So it's a good experience of somebody in struggle.
Whereas in the arcana, the statement you get when he doesn't explain something is, I can't explain it.
Yes.
Usually I'm not permitted to.
Yes. That's right, Joe. In the arcana, you do get that, but it's
not, you know, because he's struggling to understand.
Not because he's struggling it, but because
he can't explain it.
Because he can't explain it, and because it is not permitted by the Lord to reveal this heavenly secret.
The end of the bonnet stuff, we're just not supposed to know.
That's right.
I mean, the other is
we tinker with it.
Another interesting aspect of the arcana statements, like, you know, this is well beyond the comprehension of you, but here it is anyway.
Yes.
Well,
oh, you get that. This is an arcanum of heaven. And here it is, and I'm telling you it, because I see it and I'm giving it. That's okay. But there are actually closed doors in Revelation. And the arcana tends to give those in terms of there is more, but I'm not permitted. Whether he saw it or whether it was not his to see is debatable.
But in the word explained, he still had quite a lot of understanding, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm.
Okay, bear with me. You know, it's fascinating. So you get this, you know, you get this man in this period of transition, which involved so much. And one of the things I sort of feel is that Swedenborg had a lot of things on the go, okay, simultaneously, which I think is a all part of the process, and is sort of indicative of a state of excited realization, you know, I'm coming into something. And I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do that, and I want to do that. So he was writing things simultaneously a lot of the time in various ways. Okay, I'm going to run through some stuff. And of course we know that this period did conclude, you know, in his mid-50s, however long it was, you know, around about 1740, 243 to 49. So 5 or 6 years. And then, you know, he's there in that sense. Sweet, and you know, I'm not fully conversant with all this, but I'm fascinated by it. And I want to move on later on to sort of areas for us that involve struggle in order to break through.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go, go.
He'd done these, he'd written all those.
Mm-hmm.
And then he must have come to a state where he realized that he was on a new level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he started writing the Arcana. Would that be right? Because, as you said, he's serene in writing the Arcana.
Mm-hmm.
And he must be on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand it, now I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to start again.
Mm-hmm.
That must be it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way it appears to
be. So he's like further through his regeneration.
Possibly. I'd put it like this, that, you know, I'm struggling with words, of course. I've met certain individuals, and I would include Dr. Groves in this very much. I've met others who seem to have come into a command of reality. Okay? They are holistic, organic, to use those sort of phrases, and it doesn't really matter what you ask them, whether it's about, you know, eternity or politics or suffering or natural disasters or why we go through different states. Some days we're feeling strong, confident. Some days we're feeling vulnerable. So in a way, it doesn't sort of really matter what you ask them. They seem to have in front of them, and I hope this makes sense, a kind of chest of drawers. That's my analogy. And in their own mind, they're able to sort of take out things from this chest of drawers, synthesize them, and offer them to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas other people, and I think Swedenborg was very much like that by the time he got to the Arcana, other people are stumped by curlies, you know? They can answer certain things, but you fire left of centre, and they say it's a mystery or they can't explain it. But I, you know, I do think it's within human experience to have a synthetic sense of reality to the point of being able to apply it to different things. And the thing with the Arcana, which I call a reservoir, and I'll come on to this later if I get there. I call the Arcana a reservoir because it's fluid, if you're familiar with it. And Swedenborg, and I think David Miller talked a little bit about this, one minute he's talking about the ancient people, another minute he's talking about angels in heaven, and also he's talking about a regenerating person, and suddenly he's talking about the nature of the Lord. And this whole thing is a synthetic thing which is manifesting and linguistically caught, okay? Whereas later on he becomes much more systematic. And I actually feel that Swedenborg's...
You mean like in TCR?
No, I think something else was happening then. But I think in terms of the books like Heaven and Hell,
yeah.
Divine Providence... And those later books, I think he's become systematic. And I really don't think, this is me, I really don't think that they've got the magic of the arcana. They have a benefit because you're getting a thematic presentation, but the arcana is a kind of fluid take on everything.
Like a carpet woven from many different colours, and later on he puts all the coloured strands all together in one book, and the coloured strands all together in that book.
That's right.
Really
And that's part of the process, I think. You know, that's part of the process, and it's fascinating to look at, you know, where he is when he's studying anatomy and drawing from 10 or a dozen of the day very good anatomists, and then moving into a sort of philosophical side and so on, then coming up with biblical stuff, then coming up with the arcana, and then coming up with the systematic things, and then coming up eventually with true Christian religion, which is systematic, but I think is, you know, crowning. That's my feeling.
Where do you put like Apocalypse Revealed in that? Does that come in the arcana? I've never really heard.
Apocalypse Revealed is, I think, in the systematic. I know it's verse by verse exposition, like Apocalypse Explained, which to me is a very underused book in Swedenborg circles. But Apocalypse Revealed is quite categorical at times, and, you know, is a statement on the two extremes, basically, that spirituality can take us into, if we're not careful. This is early on. It can take us into quick fixes like too much emphasis on belief rather than life, which is the danger of the dragon, or the Protestant church, Reformed church. And on the other hand, you get the danger of the quick fix of dependence on the dictates of others to take you into heaven, which is the Catholicism side, okay, which is the Scarlet Woman, the dragon. So the Scarlet Woman or Babylon. So the dragon and Babylon actually represent these two extremes that all religions, and I don't mean only sort of organized religions, I actually mean in our own spirituality, we tend to move that way or that way in terms of falling for the quick fix rather than the real work.
Okay. Let's make a comment, mate, on temptation.
Yes.
And the idea of temptation, because there's what I get from the word explain is the temptation, understood as struggle, of getting beyond the literal sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we often think of temptation in terms of our personal kind of struggles. That's one level. But temptation really is being able to move through the blinkers of your truth into what is good.
Mm.
And the Lord's temptations, swinging more and more to seeing that the Lord's temptations is his struggle in us to see what's beyond the literal sense. And that's what you see, I think, in the word explain. That's what I see the struggle as. And then in the arcana, there's the Lord has been glorified.
Is the good.
Eternally. Yeah.
I would even be inclined to add to that, that I think Swedenborg admitted a number of times, and I can't remember where exactly, but that he struggled hugely in retrospect with his pride. Because he was the master of so many things, this was one of his major struggles, that he wasn't ready when he was in himself, in that sense, to be revealed to, perhaps, to that extent. And that was part of that period, was having to let go of that and then letting it flow in through him without really interacting with it, but not standing in the way of what the truth was. and feeling, and he was the inventor of it.
Mm.
He became the revealer of it. That to me is part of the struggle, period.
That's right. The